Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
One of them recognized him because they knew he was the one that cut the man's ear off in the garden. You were with him. Go and speak what you know. Jim Peter keeps on repeatedly saying, I don't know him. I don't know him. Man, I don't even know what you're talking about.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Thank you, Corey. What we're going to do today is going to be wonderful. If, and only if, the presence of God teaches and sends out this word today. I know me. You know, I may not know everybody else or anybody else in this world very well, but I like to think I know me. And here's what I know. You don't need me. I will fail you. I will disappoint you. I will fall short of what you really need. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit to magnify Jesus Christ in your life. You need something supernatural. So the only thing that I'm worth, in a great manner of speaking, is whatever I allow God to do through me. If God will do a supernatural work in me and through me, then that's something that's worth your time and your attention, and that's what I desire. Heavenly Father, would you take a hold of me in the next few minutes, God? Would you just use me to speak a word or a message, to bring across a thought? Whatever you want, Lord. If I'm not speaking your words, I'm wasting your time. And obviously, I would be wasting the time of anyone listening to this show. Father, glorify Jesus Christ today in everything that's spoken and in everything that's done. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. You are now riding on the truth train, and we are pulling out of the station asking God to take us to the destination that He has in His mind. If you've been with us the last several weeks, we are working on a bit of a journey through the life of Peter. Specifically about a 40 to 45 day period of Peter's life that was very important in the process of Peter the disciple being transformed into Peter the apostle. And I don't want to rehash what we've talked about for several weeks in a row now, so I'll just say this. If you've missed the last 3 weeks, I believe this is the fourth week in this series, you need to go to truthinfusion.com. That's our ministry website. And go to the website, truthinfusion.com, and you will find the radio page there. It's easy to get around on the website. On the radio page, the last 3 weeks' shows have been updated and uploaded to the website. You can listen to all of them. You can get caught up in what we're doing. So I don't want to rehash everything, but just want to say this. We discussed that Jesus, in the upper room before His crucifixion, told Peter something very fantastic. Didn't feel so fantastic, I'm sure, but Peter, looking back on it now, would have, I believe if he could, would tell us that was a landmark moment in my life. When Jesus told him, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus let him know there's a period of time that's coming. He didn't tell him how long the period would be at that point. He just said that Satan has asked, and after this certain period of time, you will return to me. And when you do, you will be in a condition and a position in which you will be able to strengthen your brethren, and really, he'll be able to go on to do great and mighty things as the Apostle Peter, the Peter that wrote 1 and 2 Peter, the Peter that was a foundational key member of that first-generation church. But he had to go through this process because Peter had a whole lot of Peter left in him that was going to have to be sidelined and was going to have to die so that the apostle Peter could become a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I read to you a few verses after Jesus told him that, specifically in Luke chapter 22, verse 33. Listen to the words of Peter when he says to Jesus, "Lord, I am ready to go with you." To go to prison, to go to death. Peter told Jesus, "I am ready." Peter had no idea what he was ready for. Truth is, as we can look through the scripture and see how things unfolded, Peter was only ready to fail at that point. God knew that Peter needed to fall. Peter needed to fall on his face and to realize that he was nothing that he thought he was. And all of this, "I am ready. I will go to prison with you. I will go to death with you." In Mark, we in the same situation, we hear Peter say, "I will not deny you." The "I" in Peter had to die. In the process that God was about to take Peter through, and in fact, he was going to utilize Satan to do it, that process was going to allow Peter to see himself and to see how he didn't stack up. He wasn't good enough. He could not accomplish it. With all the best of intentions, with all of his big, heavy-sounding words, with the great level of commitment he thought that he had, very quickly, it all falls apart. Jesus tells Peter in a couple of different scenarios. One time in the upper room, Luke tells us. One time in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark tells us. Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to, before this night's over, you're going to deny you even know who I am." Peter says, "I will not deny you." And we went on to see the next few moments of Peter's life and Jesus' life as they're together in the garden. They go through the process of Jesus asking Peter and those handful of disciples to pray, and they fall asleep and they're not praying. And the soldiers and the temple leaders arrive with Judas. Jesus is betrayed by Judas. Peter springs into action, cuts off the servant's ear. Jesus rebukes Peter again. He's already not working in the spirit. He's operating in the flesh. He rebukes Peter there, heals the man's ear. And then we get this scripture in Luke 22 in verse 54. And this is kind of where we ended off last week. So that's all the review you're getting. We're going to go forward from here. In verse 54, Luke tells us, "Having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house." Now, this is where we ended last week. "But Peter followed at a distance." And you see, I tried to bring out the fact that even in the face of all the big talk, and I'm not trying to say that Peter was saying stuff that he didn't believe. I fully believe that Peter thought what he was saying about his commitment to Christ was real and legitimate. I believe he believed everything he was saying to Jesus when he said, "I will not leave you. I'll go to prison with you. I will die with you. They can arrest me if they arrest you. I'm going with you. I will not deny you." I think Peter believed that the same way that most of our folks in church talk a good talk. I think we believe what we say when we talk about being a follower of Christ and sticking through it and having this knowledge of the Word and being a servant and working in the church and leading our families. But when it comes down to it, when life begins to happen, when tragedy comes, when struggle comes, when the thing we never thought would take place takes place, and we find ourselves in that moment of crisis, that's when we really begin to see what we're made of. And you see, Jesus, the very leader and the focal point of Peter's life, he had given everything up to follow him, and everything that he knew was based and founded in Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he sees Jesus arrested and taken captive. Not only that, but the last thing that Jesus says to him is a rebuke, and everything that Peter thought he would do comes to bear. The brakes are beating the boys, and "Where are you, Peter?" The Bible says they arrested him, and all of a sudden, Peter is not with him. He is not beside him. They didn't arrest Peter alongside him. He's not denied him yet, but he's following at a distance. And the truth is this, the spiritual lesson is to be learned. You cannot follow Christ at a distance. You see, mere fans of Jesus, the fair-weather Christians, the one that proclaim His name when everything's going good and you're on the mountaintop, when your Christianity is convenient for you, oh boy, then you're right there next to Christ. But when the tide turns and the enemy buffets you, when life gets hard and the world comes against you, when tragedy strikes and all of a sudden you're tested, you're seeing now what you're made of. If you ever find yourself following Jesus there at a distance, I'm letting you know, red flag, siren, warning going off. If you're following at a distance, you are but just a moment away from denial and failure. We're not strong enough to follow Jesus based on our own strength, to follow Jesus based on our own level of commitment. We are not strong enough to follow Jesus with the best of intentions. When life comes at us, if we are not walking in the Spirit, then we are quickly going to find out what we're made of. Peter, very quickly, right after, hours after having proclaimed, "I will not leave you. They arrest you, they arrest me. I will not deny you." Mere hours later, Peter followed at a distance. What happened to all the big talk, Peter? What happened to you proclaiming these great things right in front of Jesus' face? Where are you now? When he could use the support, when he could use a brother standing beside him. Now you're following at a distance. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be, child of God. If you recognize that you are following at a distance, drop to your knees where you are and pray that God would take that sin away from you and draw you close to Himself. Because when we are at a distance from Christ, we are in the very lair of the enemy. Peter didn't realize that just because he was following at a distance and in the shadows, he was at the very fingertips of the enemy. Let's go on to see what the Bible says in verse 55. "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them." The "they" in this verse is who? Well, it's the Jewish officials that went to arrest Jesus. It is some of the very officers that made the arrest. It is the temple guard. These are the enemies of Christ, the ones that either conspired for this arrest or were part of the proceedings. They strike up a fire, and Peter finds himself with them. John talks about the same thing. Here's what he says in chapter 18, verse 18. He says, "Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." It's an interesting progression, isn't it? But I think it's one that's easily taken out of Bible times and applied to us in present day. Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me." Peter said, "Nope, I'll never deny you. I'll go with you. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do this." The next thing we see is Peter is following Christ at a distance. He's separated himself. He's hiding in the shadows. He doesn't want to be up where the battle is the hottest. He's pulled himself back to keep himself safe. He's thinking about number one. He's dwelling at a distance. And the next thing we see is that the very enemies of Jesus, the people of the world, strike up a fire so that they can get warm around their fire. And Peter now has identified himself with them. And the Bible says, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. When you follow Jesus at a distance, truth seeker, when you are following him at a distance, you are only one moment away from warming yourself with the world at the fire of the world. There are so many Christians in churches, man. They are there every Sunday, you know, sometimes on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. They give on a pretty regular basis. They may even have a role that they serve in the church. But if you know them or see them operating in between the Sundays, I like to talk about that a lot. How are you living life between the Sundays? What about Monday morning? What about Tuesday afternoon? What about Friday and Saturday night? Because you see, there are a great swath of Christians, a great category of Christians who identify themselves with Christ and with the church on Sunday morning, but during the week, when they're supposed to be living out this Christian experience, when they're supposed to be bringing Christ to the world, because in all actuality, they're really following Christ at a distance, during the week, between the Sundays, where do you find them more often than not? You find him identifying themselves with the world, warming themselves by the world's fire. You see, you cannot be a true disciple of Christ, Christ follower in the very true definition of the term, if you're playing both sides of the fence. And this may be going out to you right where you are. You're recognizing and identifying that you are following Christ from a distance. You're not walking with him and beside him. You're not standing there holding hand in hand with Jesus Christ in your walk. You're walking at a distance to the point that many times in your week-to-week existence, you are more identified with the world than you are with the Christ. All too often, this is the case. Part-time Christians, fair-weather Christians. Truth seeker, I don't know if that's you or not. I know there's been times in my life where it's been me. When if you would have caught up with me at certain times in the week, you may not have been able to recognize whether I was saved or not, because I was identified with the world. And here's Peter standing with them. The them are the people that arrested Christ. Some of the ones are about to identify Peter as having been in the garden when it happened. And he's warming himself by the fire of the world. Peter doesn't know it. You and I know it because we have the vantage point of the Scripture, but Peter doesn't realize that because he followed at a distance and because he is standing with the world by the world's fire, that he has positioned himself not just for denying Christ, but for a major fall. And it's just moments away. Let's see what the Scripture says about the next few moments. And before I do that, I have to be honest with you. If you're like me, have you ever maybe seen a movie about something in the Bible? You've read bits and pieces or maybe read the whole story, but in your mind, you have this preconceived idea of what was going on and how it happened. This may be completely me, and in some instances, I think that my imagination gets the best of me. I've always had in my mind that in this scene where Jesus is denied by Peter, that they had led Jesus inside a building, and inside there is Caiaphas and some other representatives, and Jesus and the guard that are keeping him bound there. And they're closed inside a room where they're having this mock trial. And then outside in the courtyard, there's some other people waiting for that to come to a conclusion. And Peter is there, and he's waiting outside at a distance, right? And he's by the fire, and Jesus is inside. And this trial's going on, and that's where he's out there getting bombarded by, do you know him? Are you one of his? And he's saying, no, I don't know. He's denying him, and the rooster crows. And then Jesus, and that's completed. Jesus is led out, and they see each other from across the courtyard. I always had in my mind And I don't know why it's not correct that that there was a separation, that Jesus was indoors and Peter was out here with the people in the courtyard. But that's not what happened. You have to, especially when I was reading this period of Peter's life and I read it through all the Gospels, I got the full picture. So I want you to see the full picture of what happened at the denial of Christ by Peter. Peter is let into the courtyard. While Peter is in the courtyard, Jesus is at the front door, more or less, of Caiaphas's house. In other words, Jesus is in the courtyard also. Now, his hands are bound. He's got guards on either side, and he is there, and Caiaphas comes out. Caiaphas is pretending like he just woke up, and he didn't know what's going on. The truth is, Caiaphas is one of the masterminds of this whole deal. So this is all a setup job by the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas. But Caiaphas is playing the role, and he's pretending like Jesus has been arrested and brought to him, and now he's got to, you know, be the high priest and do something high priestly. In fact, he knows exactly what's going on. But here's what happens. It says, now the servant girl, this is in John, who kept the door, said to Peter, are you not one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. Now it kind of shifts gears. And the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus is talking to Caiaphas here, and Jesus answers him and says, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. In secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I have said to them. Indeed, they know what I've said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by him struck Jesus with his palm and said, do you answer the high priest like that? Now, I want you to do your best to paint the picture of the true scenario that's taking place. Here we have an open courtyard at Caiaphas's, you know, probably luxurious home. There's a surrounding wall and a door. Jesus was led in through that door to Caiaphas's front door. Other people follow in. Peter follows in. And so here in the same courtyard, Jesus is being confronted by Caiaphas. Peter is warming himself by the fire with the other people. Caiaphas begins to send a line of questions to Jesus. And John says that Caiaphas begins to ask Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Here's in essence what he's doing. He's saying, Jesus, is all this stuff I've heard about you true? Are you teaching these things? Are you teaching disciples this type of teaching? And what has Jesus been teaching? He's been teaching that he is God. He's been teaching that he's the Son of Man. He's been saying that when I'm lifted up, I will forgive your sins. He has said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. In essence, he has identified himself as the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, the prophesied one. And what Caiaphas is asking him is, do you claim that what you've been preaching and teaching is the truth? Do you claim that you are the Messiah? He's wanting Jesus to testify and to more or less convict himself by saying, yes, I am. Well, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, why should I have to tell you whether what I'm saying is true or not? I have not hidden anything I've taught in public. So let those who have heard every word I've said speak for what I've said. Let them bear witness to the truth. Now, you tell me, truth seeker, who was in the courtyard at that very moment who had heard the teachings of Jesus, who had seen what he had done, who had watched the miracles, who had felt his love as he reached out to their heart and life? Who was there that could identify and bear witness to the truth? Peter, the follower of Christ, the disciple of Christ, at that moment could have done everything he promised Jesus in the garden. He could have stepped up and said, I was there. I have seen it. I can tell you what he said, and I can tell you that I have seen it bear itself out to be true. He is the Messiah. It's at this moment, as Peter is warming himself, that multiple times people come to him and they say, you're one of his. You see, I've just begun to see this truth seeker, the fullness of this weighty moment in Peter's life. Not only did he hear and see Jesus say, "Let the ones that have heard me say these things speak for me." He heard Jesus say that. Not only that, but people are coming to him and saying, "You're one of his. Aren't you? Aren't you one of his disciples?" What are they doing? They're saying, "Go speak for him. Go tell him what you know. Stand up for the guy that you've been following." And here's how Luke puts it. He says, "Then another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Then it says, immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.'" Peter is in the courtyard. Caiaphas says, "Jesus, is everything that you've said, what you were teaching, preaching, saying about yourself, is it true?" Jesus says, "I don't have to stand up for myself. I've said everything in public. Let those that have heard me speak for me." The only one we are told that was there that had heard those things was Peter. Peter is in earshot of this whole conversation, and people are in fact even coming to Peter saying, "You're one of his." One of the Gospels even said one of them recognized him because they knew he was the one that cut the man's ear off in the garden. "You were with him. Go and speak what you know." Jim Peter keeps on repeatedly saying, "I don't know him. I don't know him. Man, I don't even know what you're talking about." In the Greek, one of the gospel writers tells us that Peter said it in such a way that he even cursed Christ. "I don't know who that blankety blank is." The rooster crowed, Jesus turns, and they lock eyes, and Peter remembers everything that Jesus had said. And the last thing we read here in Luke is it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. The fall has happened. Satan is sifting Peter. Here's what I know. There have been times in my life when I had the opportunity to stand up for Jesus, and I denied I knew him. If you want to get the next part of this, you got to come back next week, because Peter doesn't get left in the courtyard. Amen? Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.